Should you or should you not job hop? Is the grass greener on the other side, or do they have better fertilizer? Well, in today's episode, we give you the information, but you, and I do mean you, have to make the informed decision. Now, I do have a disclaimer before we get into today's episode. I want to warn you, please, and I almost want to go into my James Brown, baby, please don't quit your job without performing a thorough review of the organization you are thinking about going to. By the way, if you stay to point number 6, I believe this is the point that you're really, what you really came here for, so you can understand why and why not project managers really make the jump to leave another organization. It's an interesting point. So again, stay tuned to point number 6. Do you mind if I share a story with you? First of all, I want to give a shout out to J.W. Jones. He's the one that prompted this particular episode. And it really got me thinking because I've actually lived this where I was working for an organization and an opportunity came up where, hey, I was reached out to on LinkedIn. And at first, when this first happened to me, I was like, no, I'm good where I'm at. And the recruiter stayed persistent, was like, listen, I really think, you know, this may be a good opportunity for you based off of, you know, I'm looking at your profile and you know, we had a very, very pleasant conversation. And I was like, okay, so I decided to explore the option a little bit more. And I did realize it was going to be a great fit for me. So I left that the organization I was at and I went to this new organization. But one of the things that you learn when you make that jump as far as going to another organization, and I plan to cover it in today's episode, is that just imagine you being the new kid at school. That's exactly how it is. Okay, you don't like that. Imagine that you're in a gathering with people that over time you've developed rapport, relationships with, and then all of a sudden you have to go to a new group. A lot of people do not like change. And so when you get ready to, if you decide to make this jump of going to, you know, jumping from organization to organization, you have to understand you will be the new kid on the block. And being the new kid on the block sometimes is not the funnest because you have to understand a lot of rules and regulations that's not verbal and or written down. So I hope today's episode could give you some clarity to see if it's worth it to make the jump or is it not worth it to make the jump. I don't want to impress upon you to tell you, yep, you should just jump job to job. And because when you hear today's episode, you'll say, well, you know what? Maybe I need to do some more homework, as they'll say. Exactly. And that's what I want you to do. And I'm not saying that change is not good because I'm all for change. And I will change in a moment. But I also realize the value of being able to stay with the organization that is a good fit. That is the key word, family. That is a good fit. If it's not a good fit, now that we're having a whole different conversation. And a good fit to me, just for clarity, is an opportunity for growth, is an opportunity for to increase my skill set. They invest in you in training. So that is my definition of an actual good fit for me. Everybody has their own definition. It's just like anything else. If you go to pick out a car or a house or apartment, you have to find out the things that you need out of that situation. If those needs are being met, then to you, that will be a good fit. But to me, I may say, no, that's not going to work for me because I'm going to need X, Y, and Z. So anyway, let's jump into today's episode and let's knock out some of these points. And I hope, and I really do really can help someone out there because I really think this was a great question by Mr. Jones that was asking this in the actual comment. So here we go. Point number 1, culture adaptation. This is what I was saying. Working in different organizational cultures enhances your adaptability. This skill is crucial, especially in today's rapidly changing business environment, because it can make you really effective in various settings. Now, let me give you some actionable tips. Remember, I was talking about the unwritten rules. You want to be able to observe and document the unwritten rules as well as the norms in the current workplace. This is where you want to talk less and listen more, aka practice active listening to understand communication styles. Also, you want to seek feedback and interaction from your colleagues and diverse background. Again, cultural adaptation. This is the ability to really understand the sitting, or as I like to say, knowing your actual audience. Let's move on to point number two, perceived risk by some employers. A lot of employers, when they look at your resume, and this has actually happened to me, so I'm not telling you something I heard or I was listening to, and they said, no, this is something I know. They were looking at my resume and say, hey, Mr. Koch, we noticed that you were here for a year and then you left this company and left and then went to another organization for a year. How do we know that you won't do that to us? And that is one of those tricky questions, because I'm answering it honestly. Hey, this opportunity came up because a recruiter reached out to me, so I took advantage of the opportunity and I did my thorough homework. I made sure I researched the organization. I started reaching out to people on LinkedIn that worked at the organization. So I believe that it was going to be a great fit. However, when I got there, it was totally different than what I was advised in. So instead of blaming the people, I took full accountability and did the next best thing by researching and looking for a new opportunity. What's the point of going to go get degrees and certifications and years of experience if I'm unable to use it? And again, you want to be as transparent as you can with the employer, the future employer, because if not, they're gonna be like, oh, this person's gonna be gone in a year or so. No. Hey, I just want to be upfront with you, my reason why. So be prepared if you make the to if you're jumping organization year or two, within a year or 2 years of actually being there, or even months. I've seen people only be there in months and leave. So again, I'm really want to take my time here and unpack this one, because a lot of you won't hear this a lot on different episodes with different people. They would rather just say, yeah, you should leave. Yeah, you should, but be prepared. Get you a prepared answer. Get a real answer that really speaks from the heart and speak the truth. Hey, listen, if you don't want me, that is fine. Somebody else may be willing to take a risk on me or a bet on me. And it shouldn't even be like that, because what's interesting, family, is that if you are a project manager and you get a contract and it's a 6 month or a 12 month contract, and now you have a different, it's funny because now you have a different conversation where you're saying, hey, well, this was a contract opportunity. My contract was up. I decided not to renew. I fulfilled my obligation and I decided to look elsewhere. It's like the only follow-up question the future employer has is like, they'll ask you, well, so why didn't, I mean, did they offer you an opportunity to renew? See, these, you have to understand, you have to see between the lines on these type of questions, because what they're really asking you is if you're really good enough, if you're really that great, and I'm looking at your resume, you have the experience, you have the education, you have the certification, why wouldn't they want to renew you? That's what they're really saying. But you have to be able to speak, you have to be able to speak back to that with confidence, and speaking back to that with confidence and saying, I made the decision to leave. Or sometimes even, family, you can be an exceptional project manager. And this has actually happened to me where they just didn't have it in the budget. So they decided to, hire internationally and hired two or three of me to basically fulfill the obligation. So again, it's you have to be able to be prepared to answer these questions. And I do apologize that I stayed here, longer than I needed to, but it's very important because you will be tasked with this question. Just imagine if you're hiring somebody and you're looking at their resume and they're jumping year to year or months to month. You're like, well, it's going to be a matter of time before they leave me. And you know, you're trying to run a business, so you really want loyalty there. You really want somebody that you can count on. And if within a year you're going to leave, I'm like, I don't know. But then on the flip side of that, as they say, on the flip side of that same coin, they don't know your truths. And that's why it's important for you to articulate your truths of telling them what actually happened. And also, while you're doing this, family, maintain a positive relationship with your former employer for references. So when you are in this interview with the future employer that you're dealing with, say, hey, even though by law they're not allowed to talk to your hiring manager with regards of your performance, they can only ask, did you work there? What was the dates of your employment, and are you hireable? Those are the only three questions they can technically answer, or whatnot. You have to give them permission to allow them to ask more questions. So that's why I say keep the door open, keep, you know, leave on a positive note, regardless of what the situation is. Leave on a positive note, because if they say, hey, well, would you be open to contacting future employer? Absolutely. Here's my manager's personal cell phone number. Reach out to him or her anytime. I already let them know that you may be giving them a call. All right, let's move on to point number three. Industry reputation. Listen, becoming known within one organization or industry can lead to being seen as a go-to expert. This reputation can be harder to build when you're frequently jumping from employer to employer. What does that translate into? That translates into the longer you stay in an organization, you understand the politics, you understand the people, you understand how to get things actually done. And when you're able to get things actually done, especially as a project manager, to be able to execute, you will be that go-to person. You will be the one that people lean on for your consultation. So now you become almost like the industry expert. So that's going to be, important. Now, here's an actionable tip. Collaborate on cross-company projects. Seek opportunities in the work so that you can work on these initiatives. The question is, why would you want to do this? Because the more exposure you get to different projects, see, I love working. I had the opportunity to work in application projects, informational security projects, IT infrastructure projects. Being diverse in all of those projects, this is why I always say, I don't care what the project is. It really don't matter. It could be putting brick, it could be construction. All I need to know is, do I have a team that is willing to execute? Because if I have a team that's willing to execute, I am ready to lead. And that is what is the biggest thing. People get caught up in, like, oh, well, I'm only going to focus on application, or I'm going to focus on infrastructure. No. You want to focus on everything. You want to get a taste of everything. You want to treat it like a buffet, because you're going to learn different things from. So now you have, watch this. Ooh, I like this, family. You have a better opportunity to walk into a project fearless, while everyone else is fearful of that actual project. Because you're like, hey, I was able to do this with application. Hey, I was able to do this with informational security. So I say all that to say, an actionable tip is, by doing this, you need to document. You know the motto here: documentation beats conversation. You're able to document your achievements. And family, keep a portfolio of your successful projects, positive client testimonials, as well as you need to have measurable impacts you have made along the way in the journey. Let's move on to point number four. I call this the exit strategy. You see, I had to hit you with the hit. The exit strategy. But no, seriously, family, the exit strategy. If you decide to make the ch to change from the organization, plan your exit carefully. I know it sounds like some 007. I know it sounds like you on a secret mission, but no, seriously, family, because let me explain something. I've watched when people left organizations, and the way they left was, I felt, was very unprofessional. This is my views, right or wrong. This is what I was thinking. I felt that they should have set the organization up for success better, because if something happened where there was an opportunity for them to come back, or there was a shift in leadership, because maybe it was a leadership issue that they didn't like, and now all of a sudden that leadership regime is out, and the organization's like, man, we really miss working with ED, let me give him a call back and see if he's open and coming back. And so, again, you want to leave very professional. You want to be able to ensure that you can do a proper handoff that you get. Now, it's up to the individual that you're giving a proper handoff to, that they're asking the right information. You can only do as much as you can do. And what I mean by that is you want to make sure they have all the necessary documentation. You want to go through everything. If you get in a situation where people, where you're giving a proper handoff, and you notice that they're not really taking an initiative, and you know why, because they're like, man, now I got to take on my work and his work. So understand that's the pain that's going to come with it. And then they're going to blame you. So I'm going to be honest with you. It doesn't matter what you do there as far as doing a proper handoff, but you need to make sure that you are getting, you know, you're documenting this as that how you went about giving a proper handoff. Because again, what could end up happening is you may get a call that they may want you back to come back because of this particular leadership has left. And this has also happened to me where I've left an organization. They wanted an opportunity to bring me back. And so you want to make sure you're ready to go and definitely prepare. Let's move on to point number 5, adaptability versus consistency. Listen, change of organizations regularly demonstrates the adaptability while staying put really shows consistency. Both are definitely valuable traits. However, depending on your industry and your career goals, this is going to be the challenge here. If your career goal is like, hey, I don't know what your career goal is. Is it a financial chase? Is it a knowledge chase? I don't know what it is. I'll give you mine. Mine is really to be able to develop in this thing called project management. Not to be a guru, but to be one of the best in the industry. And the only way to be the best is be exposed to different projects. And this is my thinking. I may be wrong, but this is how I'm going about it, is saying, hey, if I want to be one of the best, I need to continually work on my craft, knowing that being number one is not, you know, I used to always be like, man, I want to be number one. I want to just run this thing. And then I realized that for me, I want to be able to serve and help other project managers or even future project managers thinking about coming on board, because that's where I get my value. That's where I get my excitement when I'm mentoring and coaching people in this thing called project management that has made a decision, not a choice, to move forward. So for me, that's where now I realize that's my definite purpose, as Napoleon Hill would say, or basically my purpose. I can see when I'm walking in that and I'm talking in that aspect of things, I really get excited. I love watching somebody that what we call get a aha moment, like, man, I didn't even think about it that way. And I'm like, you know what? I didn't even think about it that way. It just came out through our conversation and you were able to pull that information out of me because of how we were talking. So for me, I want to be one of those individuals that is a go-to coach and trainer in this thing called project management. So, actionable tip: align your personal goals with the organization's long-term objectives. Seek opportunities to contribute to the company's strategic initiatives. And most of all, as you're on this journey, build a reputation as a reliable and consistent performer. Let's move on to point number 6. This is the one that you've been probably waiting for. And I put this at this point on purpose because, you know, one of the things I used to watch is, well, the movies I watch is Spider-Man. And do you recall when Spider-Man's Uncle Ben tells Peter, hey, with great power comes great responsibility? Well, I remixed that and I said, well, with increased pay comes great responsibility. So point number 6 is salary benchmarking. Listen, when you are actually leaving a organization to go to another organization, you have an opportunity to really negotiate your salary. Normally, when you've been in an organization, typically the increase may be anywhere from, I don't know, 1 to 3%. Sometimes it can bump up higher, depending on the situation. And if you're bumping up to another role or position, but sometimes that same role and position, let's say you get promoted, let's say you were a junior project manager and now you just got bumped up to a project manager, that same role at another organization may pay more, but even though it may pay more, it may be some things that you may not be aware of with regards to more responsibility, and nothing, there's nothing wrong with more responsibility, but they have a certain expectation because they're paying you a certain amount of money that you need to deliver. And if you're not delivering, well, we need to look in a different direction compared to when you're another organization. They may not be delivering that same amount of, I mean, you already know the organization and there's still an expectation to deliver, but like what I like to say, they'll give you a little bit of grace because they're giving you a chance to kind of work and work into that role versus if you jump and go into another role at another organization, or I should say that same role, there's an expectation, and I hate this cliche, but there's an expectation that you're going to hit the ground running. So here's an actionable tip. I would recommend that you keep, again, a log of your achievements and how they benefited the organization. Also, do your research for the market rates for that role at that particular experience level. Prepare a strong case for a raise during your actual performance reviews. Let's move on to point number seven, work-life balance. Listen, change your organizations frequently can be disruptive to your personal life. Oof, this is a testimony right here. Staying with one employer allows for more stability and location and work arrangement. See, one of the things when you're just with one employer, there's a trust that has been built up over time. So if you need to go to, let's say you had an appointment that you would rather have it in the morning because you don't want to fight traffic or whatever that thing is, and you reach out to your manager, say, "Hey, I'm probably going to be a couple hours late because I need to go. I got to go to this doctor's appointment. It's better to do it then. Do I need to, take a half a day?" "No, the man, no man, I trust you. Just go ahead and handle your business and come back." Where a new employer, there's going to be an expectation of, "Man, you just got here and you're already trying to, leave and go somewhere. And, why couldn't you schedule that after work?" So it's things like that that's going to come up that I want to prepare you for, family. So here's some actionable tips. Establish a clear boundary between work and personal life. Yes, you want to be able to utilize company's flexible work arrangement if it's available. And then regularly assess and communicate your workload to prevent burnout. Let's move on to point number eight, retirement benefits. I call this understanding the numbers. You always want to understand the numbers because you could jump to another organization and it may look good on paper as far as, "Oh, well, we're going to pay you X amount." But when you get hit with the taxes, the 15, I think it's 15% self-employment tax, you're going to be like, "Well, man, okay, I'm only getting an extra maybe $300 or $500," which is, no disrespect, that's awesome. But you're taking on much more responsibility. Is the trade-off worth it? You have to make the decision if the trade-off is worth it. Because many organizations offer increase in benefits for long-term employees, such as enhanced pension plans or stock options, which can benefit you in a long-term financial planning, whatever your long-term financial planning. Would you rather take stock in an organization or would you rather go take cash? These are decisions, family, you have to make. You just can't just jump out the window, as they would say, like, "Oh, I'm out because they're offering more money." Okay, great. But what does that look like? What does these benefits look like? Here's an actionable tip. Thoroughly review your company's benefit package. Even meet with HR to understand the long-term benefit accrual. And then also consider consulting a financial advisor to optimize your actual benefits. I got two bonuses, and as usual, family, I'm gonna let you go on your way. Bonus number one, misalignment with company culture. I talked about this earlier. When you make that jump to another organization, there may be a mismatch between your personal values and what the organizational culture is, and this can cause discomfort and dissatisfaction. Have I lived that through that? Yes, and it was very painful. It was painful because what was sold up front was not actually what I was walking into. And that's why at the beginning of this episode, I put that disclaimer in there, because what I would hate to happen is that you make the jump because you've seen today's episode and it's like, yep, I'm leaving because I like some of the things ED was talking about, but you didn't pay attention to everything that I talked about. You skipped through the episode and you missed out on some valuable information. So again, before you make the jump, understand that there may be a misalignment between your personal values and the organizational culture. So you want to be able to go and do your homework. They're doing homework on you. Why wouldn't you go do your own homework? Go look on Glassdoor. Go look on Trustpilot. Go look at all. Go look on, if you're on Indeed, go look, click it. I think they had like reviews. Click on that and see what people are saying. If you start seeing some of the same information, they said we're supposed to work from 8 to 5, but 8 to 5 is turning from 8 to 8 on a week, on a day-to-day basis. And you see that, you know, consistently, you need to make a decision. Because if you don't, what you would hate to happen is, again, you get there and you realize, oh man, I should have either stayed where I was at, or now I'm stuck in a position where I got to quickly find another opportunity. And then it goes back to what I was talking about, the perceived risk from future employers. You just made the jump and now you jump into another organization. Like right away, they're going to be like, well, why were you at this organization for a month? And, you know, it wasn't a contract. You weren't a consultant. So I'm confused. So again, family, make sure you do your thorough research. Make sure, I'm going to say it again. I know people be like, why is he keep repeating this up? Because I made the mistake. Please learn from some of the mistakes. This is why I do this. I do this so you can learn from the mistakes that I made along in this journey. Because if I can help one, I would rather help 1,000 people understand that, yes, this is a beautiful career. However, if you make these certain mistakes, yes, you can bounce back. And if I had this information, if I had somebody that was delivering this information to me, I would have took their consultation, said, okay, let me make sure I do my thorough research on the organization. Let me start reaching out to people on LinkedIn that is already part of the organization to see if it's a good fit or not. And when I get to that interview, I'm not going to allow them to wait to give me 5 minutes to ask questions. I would say, hey, can we set up another interview? Because I have a lot of questions. Because that's another thing. I wasn't even thinking about this, but now I'm on my rant, so I got to keep going. Is the fact of it is, family, is that you want to have some thorough questions ready to go. Because again, you need to understand that just as much as they're interviewing you, you are also interviewing them. And if you don't ask the right questions, they're not going to reveal their hand to them, just like you're not going to reveal your hand to them, especially if you're coming from another organization that now you want to come to their organization, you're asking for a bump in pay. They may say, well, how much, you know, were you making previously? Again, that is not any of their business. Just like if you don't ask the right questions, it's none of your business because you didn't ask the right questions. So I say all that to say, here's some actionable tips when you're in a misalignment with a company culture. You need to communicate your career goals and preferred project types to your supervisor. You want to seek opportunities to shadow or assist on desired project types. A lot of people always ask me, how do I get started in this thing called project management? I say, if you're working a job and there are project managers there, you need to go build a relationship with them. Hey, can I shadow you? Because I'm thinking about going into this career. Would you be open to me joining some of your meetings, having just conversations with you? Now, I will say this. I've had this happen where people was wanting to shadow me or wanting me to coach and train them. And what irritates me the most is when you're coming to me asking me for my consultation and then you decide to go do it your way, why do you even want to come talk to me? Won't you just go ahead and do what you need to do anyway, because that's what you wanted to do? So if you go to a project manager that you've been watching that project manager and you love the way they communicate, you love the way that they're executing, you love how they hold people accountable, and he's like, man, I want to see what this profession is for me. And you're shadowing them and you're asking, hey, how do I get started? and what would you recommend? And they give you the recommendation and you choose not to follow it. Why did you waste that person's time? Matter of fact, why did you waste your time? You could have just continue to go down that path and bump your head and figure it out on your own. So again, family, if you reach out to a project manager that you're watching and you admire, make sure that you listen to their consultation and you go and execute on their consultation. Because if you don't, I'm telling you from experience, I'm not going to want to deal with you or work with you. And it's no disrespect. It's just that I don't want to waste your time, nor do I waste my time, because the time that I'm giving you, the time I'm sitting down with you after a meeting to say, hey, let me explain why I led this meeting this way. Let me show you why I was aggressive in this conversation aggressive in creating conflict because the team was X, Y, and Z. If you don't want to listen to that and understand what the reason, the purpose and the why behind it and my strategy, why am I wasting my time with you? Okay. Another actionable tip, seek opportunities to cross train on skill development and initiatives. And my next bonus, family, is specializing in opportunities. Working on multiple projects within one organization can lead to becoming a subject matter expert in a specific domain or industry, which can be highly valuable. Here's an actionable tip. Find ways that you can contribute to the organization, whether that's mentorship, coaching, or anything like that. Like I mentioned before, you want to work with people that want to work with you. You want to, you know, and one of the things, I know I went on my rant again earlier, but I'm really passionate about this thing called project management. I hope that you can see that you can see the passion, the obsession that I have for it, because I truly realize is that I believe anyone who makes a decision that wants to do this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, they can. It's just willing to trust the person that that is leading you in this journey. I don't care if you don't do it exactly the way that I do it. I'll give you an example. If I had a piece of paper, I play basketball. If I have and I use this reference all the time because it's relevant. If I had a piece of paper and I shot the piece of paper in a trash can and you walked it over and got it in a trash can, we both achieved the outcome. The outcome was to get in the trash can. What I'm saying is, when you have someone that's coaching or mentoring you, the whole thing is that you getting to that goal of what you want to achieve is your ability to practice active listening and to test out what they're saying. And if it doesn't work, if it doesn't work for you, okay, go back to them, say, hey, I did this. Now you don't say you tried it, because that will set off bells and alarm that you went and actually execute on the thing. And once you execute on it, hey, you took a different path of doing it, but you got the same outcome that I received. So let's move on to my closing remarks, family, and then I will let you go. First closing remark, cultural adaptation. Listen, working in different organizations, again, can enhance your adaptability. This will make it crucial, especially in today's rapid environment where business is consistently changing. So one of the things I always recommend is observe the unwritten rules. And document them so you can understand how to communicate. Point number two, which is huge, is the ability of basically the perceived risk by some employers. Like I stated before, when future employers are looking at your resume and they see your job hopping, they're nervous to take a shot on you because they're concerned that you may leave them as you have left those other organizations. So you want to make sure you are prepared to answer that intelligently, effectively, and have it written out and practice it over again. Because, you know, if you don't do that and you go in there and you get to mumbling and stumbling in the interview, they're going to be like, oh, that he or she is just making something up on the fly. There's no true passion. You come in there with true passion. You come in there with it executed, because they're going to ask you. There's not been one interview that I've ever went to where they looked at and seen where I was working at a company for a year and went to another company and worked there for a year. This has always come up in a conversation, and I've always handled it and answered it with the truth. I left this because, hey, the organization was making a shift. And, you know, the more you speak to your truths You don't have to make up a lie. You won't have to sit there and lie. Just tell them the truth, because there is a reason why you're leaving an organization, whether it's leadership, whether it's the politics, where there's more politics than actually getting things done. It's just tell the truth. I'm telling you, family, you will get more ahead. You will earn more trust with that future employer than you would if you make up some, you know, boisterous lie. And the last and final thing is salary benchmarking. As I said, as Spider-Man's Uncle Ben said, hey, with great power comes great responsibility. And my remix to that is, with increased pay comes great responsibility. So make sure you're doing your homework on these salary benchmark. This has been your boy D. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, listen, that just simply means, Ed, I'm grateful and thankful that you locked into today's episode. Mr. Jones, I appreciate you recommending this episode. I didn't know I was going to go this hard on this episode. I thought I'd just throw out a couple points, but this is my passion. This is my obsession that's just pouring through. I'm grateful that you gave me a chance to do this. Until next time, I'm out.